In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.
You've had a fantastic summer. I'm sad to see it kind of winding down because it seems like almost every day we've had a beautiful sunny day here. And probably 5 days a week and just enough rain to keep everything really green. So good morning. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for our weekly coffee with Dr. T. For the last 24 years this month, I've given literally thousands of interviews on radio, TV, podcasts, conferences, and live seminars. Almost all my information was really about vaccines, but there's so much more to talk about. And I wanted to be able to answer your questions specifically. So this is meant to be educational and fun. Think of this event as though we plan to meet at a local coffee shop every Tuesday morning for a short chat, a cup of joe to start the day. I always come prepared with a topic or two, but hopefully you'll have some questions. And remember to ask your questions generically because I can't give any specific personal medical advice. I have a special guest with me here this morning, someone that many of you already know. And for those that you don't, let me introduce to you Matthew Hunt. Matt and I have been friends since about 2008. We've been doing vaccine and prepper boot camps since 2017. He's my business partner at learningforyou.org. Something is that you probably don't know about Matt is that he's a longtime prepper for more than 30 years. He's led our previous prepper boot camps, and in today's times, there's a different level of urgency about preparing. We really don't know what is liable to come down the road next. And we have a 4-part boot camp that's coming up beginning next Thursday, September the 14th. It will be at 8:30 in the evening, like all of our boot camps have been. They will all be pre-recorded in case you can't come on a Thursday night because you have a church event or a school event, but we want you to be there. But Matt can tell you all the specifics about the boot camp. So that's why I asked him to join me here this morning and to fill you in on what we're going to be talking about for the next 4 weeks. Matt, welcome to Morning Coffee with Dr. T.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here. You're right. It's been a long time that we've been associated together and business partners and in the battle, you know, that has evolved. You know, the battle for our minds and quite honestly, our livelihoods has been escalating every year since, you know, we started. And that's why we got together in the middle of the night on several calls and planned to be the educational arm of the movement because it didn't exist, you know. one of the things that, looking back in retrospect, that I realized is it takes a while to learn how to teach to groups of people. You know, we can figure out the best way possible to put down information and then get in front of the camera and spew it out, and then people should get it. They should understand. It takes a while. It takes a while to get to the point of understanding, here's what the audience needs. So our classes and our lectures, webinars, everything has evolved over the years, just like everything else. Well, simultaneous with that is, you know, the nefarious plans of the evil ones. You know, their plans have evolved and they've gotten more brazen. And, you know, they kind of do the marketing work for all of us right now, because if you turn on Twitter or X, the news, look at Drudge Report, which is just a complete Chinese propaganda arm now. You look at the headlines, they're painting pictures that are A, designed to suppress you. The headlines, the news, the propaganda, it's all designed to make you stop in your tracks and do nothing. It's made to create cognitive dissonance to the point that you literally freeze in place and do nothing. Even psychology has changed where, you know, we used to have fight or flight. Those were our basal responses. You know, in the last 7 years, psychology has acknowledged and put in place something called freeze. It's fight, flight, or freeze. Those are now considered your basal responses. Well, they're triggering freeze in everybody. What can you do? Why would you vote? Why would you do anything? What, the DOJ will arrest you anyway. They'll put you away, just like the January 6 people. You know, all those things, all those droning headlines are meant to tell you and try to teach you to do nothing. I'm the exact opposite. I want to prepare for everything. And I want all the good people that we know to prepare for everything. We're in a point in history, and I know other generations have said this, and mostly, after that phrase, a lot of people say, oh yeah, everybody says that. Most of those generations were right. The World War II generation, everybody felt the world topsy-turvy, everything going nuts. And then it did. The world was thrown into war, Axis versus Allies. It was upside down for them. What's different now is we have a lot of global fronts and lots of facets happening simultaneously. Number one and forefront right now is illegal immigration in multiple countries right now. It's happening. That is a direct attack on our infrastructure. That is a direct attack on the ability of law enforcement to protect their citizens. That's a direct attack on your ability to not get attacked and have no ramifications for it. Look at the headlines at how many illegal immigrants are raping, murdering, destroying property, whatever. And it's not just in San Francisco or New York. It's, the Rust Belt now. It's in the middle of the US. The border invasion is occurring constantly. There's a brand new clip that I couldn't get extracted and put up here. I just saw it this morning, where the guys were, they staked out cameras like trail cams along the border, the southern border, and they got six or seven illegals in six or seven different crossings wearing fatigues with assault packs. Where are they getting armed up? Who's paying for that? And of course, the lefty bots in the middle of the threads on that on X were like, oh, they couldn't buy backpacks in their own country. What are you saying? No, they're all uniformed the same way. In most intents and purposes by law, they're considered an invading force. They're considered a foreign force because they're all uniformed the same way. So why aren't we looking at it that way? Well, it's happening every day, and it has been happening, the entirety of this administration. So we have had an invading force continually in this country. That's just one facet. And that's not just the United States. Look at Ireland and look at the United Kingdom and look at Germany. Germany yesterday, or well, day, because of the time change, day before yesterday came out and they're securing their border again, or trying to. It's a little late. Germany has been, absconded. It's been, basically supplanted with an invading force, just like we are. And again, that's just one facet of what's going on. You look at the economic picture of what's happening in the world. I don't know if people are familiar with stocks and bonds and watching charts, but there are a few nuggets that everybody can understand. Dollar General stock plummeted in midday trading, literally went to the floor as a leading indicator of the rest of the market coming after it, which it did 48 hours. And the CEO didn't mince words. Our key demographic is hurting in the wallet. They don't have the money to spend. What he really means is inflation has gotten out of control to where people are making choices. Do I keep my electricity on or do I go to Dollar General and buy? If they're not going to Dollar General, where are they going? Probably not anywhere else. They're suffering. This is an economic indicator that middle America is being squeezed.
That's what
And
I
that's a
thought.
huge
When
deal.
I saw that that plummeted, I mean, that store plays to the lower income people
It
that
does.
don't have a lot of disposable income. And when their stock went away, that was really frightening to me.
And 3 days later, Dollar Tree did the same thing, almost the same chart.
Wow.
And then today and yesterday, Big Lots, which is a kind of a discount department store. I don't know if they're fairly popular. But look, it's a place where you can get fairly decent, inexpensive furniture. Like if you get a college student that you need to furnish, you go to Big Lots and get their couch, right? But they also have lots of goods and things that are less expensive than even Walmart. Big Lots is closing a bunch of stores and they filed for bankruptcy yesterday.
Wow. Filed for
Add to that,
bankruptcy?
they did.
How many stores do they have?
I know they closed 19 immediately, but they have something several hundred
Wow.
throughout the country.
Wow.
So, yeah, well, you know, and that's one of the things that people were claiming Dollar General made a mistake was, you know, one of the jokes around here, because of course I live in a rural community, is, you know, you could go everywhere, you know, go that way towards West Virginia for 19 miles and you're going to find a Dollar General, you know, because they put them up everywhere. Well, they do because of the accessibility and because that is the market. People that need to spend money and buy goods can go to Dollar General and save quite a few dollars. Well, if the Dollar General goes kaput, they can't. So that's the squeeze we're talking about. When the market collapses or it contracts, then it squeezes middle America. You know, the people at the very, very, very low end that are on subsidized income, they're not squeezed so much. Yes, their dollars given to them by the government don't go as far. But the people that are spending the income they make are squeezed the worst. And that's where we are economically. Not only that, you look at crypto, and you know, I follow all the crypto guys, and I've been in crypto since the beginning. And I did a webinar about crypto and explained the money system, et cetera. You know, it's topsy-turvy right now, and it's heavily manipulated. You know, a bunch of the Bitcoin that was seized during Silk Road investigation by our government was dumped into the market by this administration to drive Bitcoin down. You know, there was a headline the same day Bitcoin tanked that the stock market lost $1.3 trillion in value in one trading day.
Wow.
One trading day. That's not even considering the value that evaporated in Bitcoin that day. And I mean, the market traders, the guys that are the big whale traders in Bitcoin, were even like suicidal that day. They're like, oh no, the manipulation's real, it's happening. Well, now we've got China signaling that they want to manipulate it down because China has their own cryptocurrency they want to roll out.
Didn't crypto,
right?
Didn't I see the crypto market drop from something like 78,000 a coin to 52,000 a coin in just like a matter of a couple of days? Is that what you're referring to?
That is correct. And so actually it was the first drop in that series of events.
Wow.
But yes, it went from just under 70 to like 51.
Wow.
And if you're,
I just want to make a mention of that to the people that are listening who may not be big crypto coin holders and may not be big crypto traders, but there are a lot of people. I mean, I have a personal friend that has almost all of his retirement tied up in crypto because he really believes in the process, really believes in the blockchain technology. And I remember when I saw that, I thought, wow, he just lost a third of his money in one day. And so put that into perspective. When we talk about all these different things that are dropping, I mean, it can be just from 10, it can be from 12 to 8. That's a third of your money that's dropped. And so it doesn't have to be like gigantic numbers, but it's still America's losing its money.
Well, a matter of fact, it doesn't have to be huge swings because, you know, if you look at what, and this is a sign of inflation as well, right? One Bitcoin, whenever I first started mining and trading, was like $6. Inflation has made the value of that coin go up. It's a store of value, like gold. If gold wasn't suppressed and silver weren't suppressed in the markets, if the actual physical amounts of silver and gold were accounted for properly and they didn't have just slips of paper, warehouse receipts, then gold would be through the roof. So would silver. They would track the same chart. But Bitcoin was separate from that. It takes so much US dollars to buy a Bitcoin because the valuation of the US dollar is crap. It's terrible. And the point is a store of value. Well, if they're attacking a store of value, they don't want you to survive. And just like you said, you have friends that believe in the blockchain technology. They believe in the crypto exchanges. They believe in the hard wallets. I do too, to an extent. But I also know that it takes a stormtrooper with his boot on your neck to take your hard wallet and force you with a gun to your daughter's head to give you the passwords. I mean, it's we have to win at a different meta level of our existence than we do at the market level. Because the point is we have oppressors throughout the entire world that want to do you harm. So we have to negotiate a very different mental state of what survival means. It means being ready to hunker down in your house and weather the storm, whether it's, you know, an actual natural disaster and no help's coming because the infrastructure is broken, or it's, you know, the stormtroopers are marching down your neighborhood and you're trying to evade or escape, or you're trying to stay out of harm's way. You know, survival and prepping has multiple aspects to it, just like the crises that are developing around the world have multiple aspects. We've already talked about the illegal immigration, which a lot of people can construe as, you know, a worldwide plan. You know, the administration wants the open borders, A, because they get voters that they can, you know, put on the voter rolls and vote for. And, you know, yesterday, you know, the hidden camera from a Dallas voting worker or polling place worker training came out, where the trainer was telling them, just put their names down and use this address as the church and get them on the rolls. Talking about illegal voters. So we know that open borders will work for whatever administration is in charge if they manipulate them. But also it's helping the other country because they're dumping their criminals here. The gangs are spreading their ground. They've been given essentially free rein to run in this country. I don't see much of a crackdown on any of the gangs. The last map I saw today, instead of like red or blue, it has like yellow clusters around the country that shows where the Venezuelan gang has expanded to. It's everywhere. I mean, 2.5 hours from me in DC, they're there. They're in Northern Virginia. And this isn't even MS-13. This is a different, whole, entirely different, you know, prison gang from Venezuela. And they're the ones that are purportedly taking over, you know, the apartment complex in Colorado, and they're also in Chicago, et cetera. And then you look at Springfield, Ohio, and you see that, you know, that this administration dumped 20,000-ish Haitians on a small Ohio town. And they're in the streets. You know, they're taking over hotels and everything else, but they're in the streets, but they're also literally hunting wildlife. They're grabbing geese and ducks in the ponds and neighbors' cats and all that kind of stuff. This is not fiction. It's happening. It's being reported. And the residents there are screaming at their city councils, do something. This is our city. It's being invaded. The infrastructure for support in this country has been broken. It was broken during the pandemic. And Sherry Tenpenny warned everybody from the mountaintops this would happen. And now our military is decimated for, you know, able-bodied soldiers because, you know, they're all sick or they got booted out because they wouldn't take the vax. And, you know, we're dry docking a whole bunch of ships because we don't have the people to man them. That article came out of Norfolk. So they don't have the soldiers to man a bunch of our ships to steam them to sea. Well, we've committed a bunch of them to the Gulf. What happens if our borders get attacked? What happens if the coastline gets attacked?
Matt,
you know, it's
Matt, would you expand on that a little bit? Because how can we not have enough soldiers to man these ships? I mean, these ships, that means we're down thousands and thousands of soldiers,
correct,
and naval officers and recruits, because each one of those ships is probably 2,500 to 3,000 people. That's really, right, a big deal. I think
it's a huge deal. And I can't expand on it.
Say a couple more sentences about that, please.
Sure, I can. It all started during the Obama administration. So Obama administration started with, you know, tearing down and consolidating our military bases. Military bases, and most people, they think Army base. It's also Navy facilities. It's also Air Force base. It's also Air Force that are deployed via the Navy. It's everywhere. When he started doing the drawdown, they didn't replenish any of those soldiers. They all got integrated into regular society. And then there were a bunch of other WPA-type programs that Obama administration put in to repurpose these soldiers into civilian life. They didn't backfill that, right? And so then you had the attrition rate that normally happens, which is retiring age, their injuries, et cetera. And then we pulled back from Afghanistan and other places, and those soldiers rotated in, and most of them did not re-up. You know, they went to, you know, civilian life. So we had this terrible drought in incoming soldiers. And then pandemic hit. And what happened is anybody that stood up and said, no, I'm not taking the shot, I'm not taking that vaccine, learned two things. One is they will boot you without anything, and everything that you did is for naught. And number two, when you sign on that line, you're property of the government. They can do what they want. And so we had a fair amount of soldiers that got booted, and they did not get replenished either. The only successful litigation, I think, was the Navy SEALs in the Texas jurisdiction that actually won their case about being forced for vaccination. But they didn't reinstitute all the, you know, all the soldiers throughout the entire military. It's just those guys.
You
You know,
know,
they won the.
I had heard, and this was even before all the COVID shot mandates for our military, that recruitment was down by some like 20 or 20 to 25%, and that even those that wanted to join the military were not eligible because of obesity and type 2 diabetes. Is that true?
That is correct. So I actually in the boot camp coming up, I start talking about what the state of our military is from the reports that United States military, from reports that I've investigated, because I believe people need that knowledge. They need to know that, like the movies of the 80s where US military moved in and took over a city that's under alien attack or, you know, whatever, that's not likely to happen, especially if we're extended in Europe. You know, I'm not even talking, I haven't even mentioned the facet yet of, you know, the Russia-Ukraine situation, or the Hamas and Israel situation, or the Iran situation, or China looking at all those situations. You know, we've had planes and ships on the coast of Alaska, you know, playing games with us for the last month. You know, we have had Russian planes, we've had Chinese ships. You know, we've had Russian steam twice now to Cuba just to show up, you know, and that those are things that are posturing, right? And they're, you know, for the last 3 days, there have been reports out of Russia, and even from a dissident that left recently, who was an oligarch, but, you know, I guess he took the Kool-Aid to get out of there before, you know, the rest of the world comes after him. That said, that Putin was close at least twice now to actually using small strategic nukes on Ukraine. Those discussions happened in the Kremlin. So I can understand why. I don't, I think that whole situation should never happen. I think we shouldn't poke the bear. I really don't. I don't think that Putin's in the right. I don't think America's in the right. I think that they're all wrong. I think that, you know, any armed skirmishes right now when we're not taking care of our individual people is ridiculous. I think border skirmishes are ridiculous. Put up a wall and keep them out. You know, I think that Russia-Ukraine is something we shouldn't be in a proxy war over at all. And I think if you actually do the economics of the debt that we're saddling future generations with from this Ukraine thing, it's terrible. And here's the reason why. A lot of people don't understand the way the Federal Reserve System works anyway. I'm not going to go into that here. But the point is, everybody thinks my tax dollars are going to, you know, fund the Ukraine. No, your great grandchildren's tax dollars are. Because your tax dollars right now are going back to try and fail to pay the interest to the Federal Reserve from everything we borrowed 15 years ago and 20 years ago. They're literally creating new money digitally, but the Federal Reserve is creating new money to lend to Congress to send to the Ukraine. We have never paid our debt to the Federal Reserve that we were saddled with. And that debt keeps growing. So, no, your tax dollars don't get hoovered out of your pocket, mailed with a check into your tax return to the government that ends up in the Treasury, and Treasury writes a check to the Ukraine. That's not the way it works. We appropriate more money from the Federal Reserve and send it digitally to wherever we're inciting a war.
So Matt, so as knowing all this as a background, where are we going to go with this prepper course? There's a four-part series, so where are we going to go with that?
Right. So In our previous boot camps, one of the things we tried to do was teach people in a discussion way. You know, my teaching style, and I'm going to go into my prepping style as well, so people understand, is, you know, having a discussion and giving subtle choices of what you can do, starting with, you know, how do you self-evaluate, and, you know, learning how to do the basics for survival. I have honed down and focused my teaching methodology for prepping and survival to literally showing you and demonstrating now, and giving you pick lists and action item lists every week. Instead of, I hope you got from the conversation what you needed, you're literally going to have download sheets and checklists of things you need to go do now and go get. I'm not trying to teach you guys all to go spend a huge amount of money, because there are economic ways to go prep. There's also ways to go evaluate your house and gather the things that you need. And there are inexpensive ways to get prepared for what's ahead. So the first week is self-evaluation. In our one email that went out, I sent a link to a quiz that you can take on our website that will score you and tell you where you rank, whether you're a beginner, a moderate, or advanced survivor, and whether you're ready. That self-evaluation has to happen, number one. And we're going to talk about that in the first live, so that people can throw their scores out, tell us what they scored at, and then we're going to discuss what those mean. And each week, I will center the teaching. So if you're a beginner, pay attention to this for sure. If you're a moderate survival guy, pay attention to this. If you're advanced, pay attention to this and help the rest of us. Because if you're ex-military and you're special forces or something like that, and you're taking this boot camp, good on you, because you understand that you still hone your skills every time. But get in the discussion. And the difference here is we have a Telegram channel. So one of the things that will happen this week, at the end of the week, is everybody that signs up will get an email inviting them into the Telegram channel. So that is a free 24/7 channel where we can discuss all these topics. And that's first week. You know, we're going to talk about the two binder method. We're going to go over that. Absolutely, so that everybody understands that. That's in week two as well. We're going to learn all the methods for initial shock, crisis hits, how to start fire, get warm, procure water, how to treat it, how to build shelter, how to shelter in place if you're going to do that, whether urban survival or suburban. We're going to talk about food and cooking. We're going to talk about comfort items. We're going to talk about building your go bags and your bug out kits. And if you're not going to bug out, if you know, you know, look, I'm in the middle of my city and I can't get anywhere for 16, 17 miles on foot. I can't do it. I'm going to teach you how to hunker down at your own place and at least defend it and eat and survive and find water. That's week one, because everybody needs actual action items. They don't need a holistic conversation of, here's what I'd like to see you do. No, you need to do this. You need to do these things. We're at that point in history. We're at that point where, okay, we could have the holistic discussion like we had in the past, where a couple of years back, I was telling everybody, start doing this now. Start doing this now. Well, now you actually have to do this. We're going into winter. You know, Cumberland, where I live, we had our first frost warning yesterday. And it did freeze overnight. So, you know, everything was crunchy in the morning. That's early. And that could signal a very long, steady, cold winter. If things hit the fan, if November goes a really crappy way for all of us, it could be a long winter for survival. Start doing these things now. Then, second week, and again, I'm focusing for the three categories of survivors here: beginners, moderate, and advanced. So everybody will have information. Week two, we dig very deeply into the two binder system and get everything set up right away. And I'm going to have all the downloads ready to go. And there's all kinds of new downloads for the binders for you, for literally whenever you bug out or tragedy hits and you open your tote at home or you grab the binder out of your pack, it from page one will step you through the process of mental and physical survival. I've rewritten it. So page one starts you with, did you know you can survive this many hours without water, this much this many days without food. You know, just start priming your brain for survival. And, you know, in the checklist at the very beginning is start rationing now. Start collecting everything now. You know, things like this, these kinds of things. Can you see it? Where's the focus point? This is a package of survival bars. These last 25 to 30 years on a shelf, and they're very, very dense, and they're high carb and fairly decent calorie. But there's four bars in this little pack, and that is enough to sustain you if you're rationed. You know, we're going to talk about what really should go in your bug out kit, and I'm going to show you mine. I have, you know, I have the adult backpacks, which are me and my wife, and everything kitted out in those go bags. Now, these aren't your weekend hiking bags. These are your, you're getting out of Dodge because the missiles are flying bags, right?
And I'll tell and you, those are, say something about that. Your bug out bag doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go hike 17 miles. It may be your right. survival bag that you have right. in your basement. And so a bug out could be bug out to hunker down or bug out right. to get on the road and leave.
Exactly. And we're going to talk specifically about those differences. You know, mine happen to be in backpacks or assault packs that are huge, because I've trained about, you know, being able to carry 70 plus pounds on my back for a very long distance. You know, I'm not telling everybody they have to do that. I'm telling everybody that they have to start moving their body and figuring out what they can do. And that's what that self-evaluation is supposed to start telling you, is, you know, what you need to be able to do and what you need to work on. We're going to talk about weapons and tools in week two. And I'm actually going to show you and demonstrate and probably have video clips already at YouTube on a couple of the items. I carry a longbow, and my longbow is a breakdown. It breaks down to about that size and then extends out. But then I have to string it. If you don't know how to string your bow properly, you're not going to get it strung. First of all, it's really difficult, and it's counterintuitive until you see how it's done. And my arrows break down to that length. They screw apart. And then I carry, you know, a bunch of, the blurred background does it, you know, broadheads for hunting, right? So, you know, we're going to talk about weapons and defense systems. You know, we danced around that a little bit in previous boot camps. You know, I mentioned you have to have, you should have a rifle, should have a knife. We're going to talk about every one of them and the proper use of them. You know, there used to be a, and it's actually still a thing, a little small wooden bat or aluminum bat that we used to call tire thumpers. That's what truck drivers used to call it. That was their excuse for having a bat in their truck for beating the crap out of people, you know, in defense. It was called a tire thumper. I still absolutely believe you can put a few ounces small aluminum bat in your backpack, and it's a club. Yes, you can harvest one with your little handsaw out in the woods and make your own club. But if you can just grab in the back of your pack and knock somebody out who's threatening you and your kids, go for it. So I have links to every one of these items so that you can go purchase them or look for them locally. So we actually have go items and lists and all that so that people can go acquire these things, and they must do it. Perimeter defense for camps, tripwires and devices that shoot the shotgun primers and scare the bejesus out of anybody trying to come into your camp and get to you or wakes you up if you're a deep sleeper. Radio communications. I used to really, really push like Baofeng radios, ham radio, ham license radios. I don't do it anymore. It's too complicated. People have the bars too high. So we talk about different alternative radio communications and why, as well as a protocol for talking. Medical and first aid kits, we're going to talk about. I have my own list for medical bug out as well as medical first aid kits that should go in your packs. And these are things that you can acquire. And there are things that from survival medics and from guys in the military that were medics that I learned a lot from. And I'll give you lists. You have a download list to go shopping. You know, go get these things, you know. And also, And we're going to talk at length in the course about this. You know, look, you need instruction sheets for some things. Put them in the pack because, you know, look, I might be one of seven in my family that's hoofing up the mountain to go survive. If I get shot in the head, my kids need to know how to use the radio that I packed. They need to use, know how a tool works, or they need to know how this tourniquet works. So somewhere in your pack is going to be the instruction sheets for these things, or in your binder. And worst case scenario, once everybody's got it, you've got tinder. The paper can be used to light fires. We'll talk about special cases for surviving with children. That's always a huge topic I get asked about every time. And then defending a position, and or if you're staying home, defending your home. Then week three is urban survival versus wilderness survival, and building your effective bug out kits. The truth about wilderness survival, it's not what everybody thinks. Those YouTube videos where the native guys go out and build like an entire castle out of mud and straw, I get it. That's awesome. Not real. But bushcraft, my style of survival is a combination of bushcrafting, as well as military training survival, as well as scouting. And you can mix a little bit of hobo in there, because there's a lot of items that the generation of hobos that traveled post-war, a lot of people thought they were like dirty tramps. They weren't. They were men that were seeking work, and they actually were quite kept well, and they learned how to pack light and travel the entire country with very little. Matter of fact, a little tidbit about hobos, a lot of times you used to be able to find silver dollars and things in antique stores that had a hole drilled in it. The reason that hole was drilled in is because hobos couldn't be accused of being penniless and being a tramp if they had a dollar on them. So they would wear their dollar around their neck so that the local authorities could never jail them for being penniless. So one of the reasons, you look at the hobo thing is because they communicated. They had, secret symbology that they would write on fence posts, that would tell anybody else wandering by that knew the language, nice farm, the farm wife is nice and she'll feed you. Or there's work here. There's communication that they use to network the entire country to go find work. So we all need to do that kind of thing. We need to learn how to communicate and survive in groups. And finally, in the middle of all of this, we're going to talk about mental and physical survival. We're going to talk about mentally preparing for this kind of thing, mental exercises, making sure that you keep yourself entertained and have some kind of humor throughout this. Doom and gloom is really easy to walk away from me talking today. I'm not. I'm urging you to do something now while you have time. But in the same respect, when you're going up the mountain and you've got five littles with you, five kids, you can't be crying by the fire every night and have those kids reasonably expect to survive. You need to pack cards and games and things like that that are easy to take with you. And you need to be able to communicate that there's hope when there is hope. Physically, and I look, I'm one of those, my weight goes up and down all the time, but I train for whatever weight I am. My pack, when I carry it, and I actually have a hanging scale that when we go over my packs, I will hang it on a scale so you can see the actual carry weight. is somewhere around 76 pounds mostly. But those are things that you're going to carry to get to a destination. And some of those things you're going to split out and hand to somebody else to carry. Or some of those things you're going to stash and hide at your camp. You're not always going to carry your bow with you. You're not always going to carry your axe with you. You're not always going to carry the shovel or the cook pan. You're going to find places to safely stash. And that lightens your load so that you can be lighter on your feet. You have to set up patrols. But you can't do any of this stuff if you can't walk around the blocks in your neighborhood. If you don't have shoes that you can walk a long distance, and Michelle, I'm looking at you, if you've got high heels only, go get real hiker shoes. Because if you have to put hikers on and go up the mountain and you don't have them, if you don't have boots that you can lace up and support your ankles, because when you're fatigued, your ankles will roll. If you don't have the ability to climb down a small ravine and get water from a creek and then sterilize it, clean it, and filter it, then you're not going to survive. At least do the small things. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to have a list of things that you can do every day or every week at least, so that you can learn what your limits are. If your limits are you can only walk a mile or two a day, then you have to find an evasive path that hides you, right? If you're not covering much ground, that means you're doing it slowly. So you need to go through a heavily wooded forest if you can find it, or an urban survival, you're going to have to go building to building to building and set up camp. You know, a one mile is not very long. I know in elementary school, when my coaches made us run a mile, it seemed like forever, but it's really not, especially when they're in a vehicle after you. So we all have to talk about search, evasion, escape, and rescue. We have to talk about all those things. We're going to do that in this boot camp. Each Thursday is going to be a live. I keep throwing videos at the YouTube channel, which hopefully somebody links for you so that you can go visit. It helps us dramatically if everybody subscribes there, and you're going to want to subscribe because there will be some giveaways later on throughout the bootcamp that if you're a subscriber at YouTube, you're automatically enrolled for the giveaway. Don't look at this bootcamp as a huge list for going and spending a bunch of money. A lot of stuff people have already, but there are some very economical things that you can do. And I know I showed this to Cookie once a few bootcamps back. This device is not very expensive, and it is one of the coolest devices that you can get. It is a UV sterilizer that you can put down in your water in 90 seconds, and it'll kill everything. Once you filter all the muck off of it, you can see it's lit up, you just put this down. But also, you can lay it over a wound to hopefully sterilize that wound. It helps.
So Matt, you did, so just because I don't want to run out of time.
Yeah, that's fine.
You did week 1, 2, and 3. What is week 4?
Week 4 is the bonus. And that is going to be a live event where I go and stream live via Zoom from an actual camp that I set up. As if the scenario is shit hit the fan and I just hoofed it down the mountain, found a place to hunker down in the woods, and now I'm setting up a survival camp. And I will set up and unpack my pack, probably have one of my sons with me, and he'll be carrying a pack. And we're going to set up a camp for stealth, survival, water, cooking, and defense. And we'll do it live. And then we'll sit around the fire and take questions. And you know, anybody has questions about the gear in my pack, I'll take it out and show. So the idea is also...
And Cookie's been posting in here places that people can subscribe. how much is the boot camp? And Cookie's posting up lips, but how much is it? Because there's a lot of people that are just listening. How much is it? And and Cookie will say the place, you know, read it to where people can go and sign up.
Right. Mm-hmm. You want me to answer the price now, or is it good enough?
Go ahead.
There?
Go ahead.
Okay, so it's $199. And this is dramatically decreased from the way boot camps used to be priced. And the main reason is we want it accessible. We want people to survive. We want people on the right team to survive because we're all the future. There are discounts if you were a previous boot camper. If you don't know what that discount is, you haven't received the emails, reach out to help@learningforyou.org. That's our main help email. And somebody will get you the code so that you can get your discount. There's only one discount level. There's not like huge discounts. There's only really one public discount, and it's the same dollar amount as the discount with the previous boot campers. Now, if you took the Freemasonry webinar I did, you also got your discount code, and I see that people took advantage of that. So I know you guys got that email. So at $199, I mean, put it this way, the One Wilderness, the mountain survival course I took, which was mountain medicine as well, was 8 days, and it was $3,800.
Wow.
So, the Seer course I took was $2,750 plus the gear you had to buy once you were there. But that was search, evasion, rescue, and that was pretty intense. But, you know, just so you have perspective on what these things actually cost, we're doing this at a deep discount to get as many people in it and enrolled as possible and to continue the conversation. YouTube channel is free, but there will be some private videos posted there as well, and demonstration videos. And the Telegram is free, but it's invite only. So we'll send invitation links, and we'll verify everybody in there against our bootcamp list.
And Matt, if I may, because there's so many things that are going to be addressed in this boot camp that we can't possibly just like go through everything right now. But for those that are listening in and are not watching the screen, so we have a short link that you can go to for more information on the boot camp. It's a bit.ly link. So that link is bit.ly/prep4. And that's the number 4, bit.ly/prep, the number 4.
Awesome. So yeah, and again, my reasoning here is absolutely both self-serving and honestly mad about the evil ones running the world. I want everybody to survive. I want Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and a bunch of people and Tegan to all survive and you know plant the flag in the backs of the oppressors and go, nope, now we run, and go back to the way it should be. Go back to not feeling scared and wondering what's around the corner in November. Some stabilization has to occur. But in order for a society to stabilize, it goes through a lot of stuff. And if you look back in history, which we'll talk about during boot camps, if anybody's ever taken my lives before in our boot camp, they know that I will go on for a very long time and speak because I answer questions as well as I can. And, you know, when I say count on at least 2 hours on those lives on Thursdays, that's kind of the minimum. And I know there's going to be extras. And I will take away from those questions things that need addressed and answered, and I'll do videos and throw them to YouTube. So, you know, there's a lot of ground to cover, but there's a lot of discussion to have. But the difference between this bootcamp and previous is they're action items and real demonstrations. And, you know, at the camp setup, the bow will get, you know, unfolded, set up, and we'll shoot the bow and arrow. We'll have the folding 22 rifle and unfold it and shoot it. We'll show you these devices and how they actually work in a real camp scenario. And we'll build fires and we'll take questions. Because at that point, you've gone through the boot camp and you should have derived a bunch of questions. And, you know, what better time, you know, than Matt's sitting around a campfire with a bourbon and asking a bunch of questions.
Well, you know, I can't stress enough about the urgency of this. And we have made it affordable literally for everybody. I mean, like Matt said, in comparison, many of these other things are a week long, and ours is 4 days. So that's a half a week, and a week for $3,500 versus a half a week for $199. And the action items that you need to protect your family. I mean, we are past the point of talking about this. We really need to take this seriously. You know, I have a feeling that prepping is going to unfortunately be a little bit like vaccine information, in that people are like, yeah. And they don't take it seriously until their first kid gets seriously injured, has seizure disorder, ADD, ADHD, asthma, autism, or they die. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I should have really taken that package insert course. I really should have learned about how to know what's coming through that needle. And, you know, and so because we years and years ago, Matt, I mean, years ago when I was still on Facebook and I had like 150, maybe 200,000 followers on Facebook years ago, we did a little bit of a survey one day, because I was kind of frustrated. And I said, why is it that I'm putting all my life work into getting ahead of the curve of showing people to ask questions and to know what's coming through that needle before you put your child on that right. table as a sacrificial lamb. And we did a short little survey of like, why is it that people don't get it? You know, I can't remember the exact wording, but, you know, why is it that people will sacrifice their first child before they will take vaccine dangers seriously? And I remember this distinctly, that 82% of the people responded saying that until it touches you personal, people don't take it seriously. Right. Well, don't let that be the case with this prepper stuff. Because if suddenly you need to know, where am I on that scale, on that quiz that Matt put out for you? What am I going to do about fire, about heat? It's 20 degrees below zero outside and it's snowing. How do I start a fire? Where am I going to find water? What am I going to do? Don't put that off and say, yeah, it's okay. And then be scrambling and saying, please save me, help me, help me. Yeah. When it's beyond that point. So this is an incredible opportunity to learn from somebody who's been doing this, been scouting, been doing things with the military, been doing his own stuff for a long time. And so, you know, pass this link around to your friends and family members. Get everybody in your circle educated so that you're not the only one carrying the torch, that you've got your spouse, your kids, your you know, the people that you would want in the dugout with you. Get them educated and be part of this too. We've loaded this up with everything. It will be recorded. You will have access to it because you'll want to go back and re-listen to it again. So, and some people may not be able to join us for Thursday night, or they may not be able to stay for 3 hours, you know? So they'll be able to have all this stuff. Like Liz says in the comments over here, say it's fun to do the live. So we really hope that everybody will join us.
And if I can add, Dr. T and Matt, you know, Matt's talking about how he'll have the videos up and how things will be explained. If you haven't visited the YouTube or Rumble channel yet, I suggest you go do that and get a sneak peek at just how succinct, they're short, they're clear, easy to understand videos that I was amazed. So if you go to YouTube or Rumble, the channel name is at, you have to put the at sign, because if you don't, it's not going to come up. It's at Prep for Survival. So it's PREP, the number 4, and then the word survival, at Prep for Survival on each one. And I'll say the link to the boot camp one more time in case those that missed it. It's bit.ly/prep4, PREP and the number 4.
Very good.
Absolutely. I hope to see everybody there. Thank you, Sherry. I know that you know how important this is. And it's extremely helpful to have you re-explain it in proper terms. You know, I get so high in the clouds sometimes trying to teach that, you know, sometimes it's, look, folks, you just need to do this. Don't be the liability in your own family. Get yourself prepared and get through all of this, because we don't know what's ahead, but so far the signals are pretty bad.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, I've always been of the mind, you know, plan for the worst, hope for the best. You know, what if you planned for a hurricane or a tornado and it didn't happen? You know, I remember years and years ago, a friend of mine who sold me insurance and, you know, we did my 401k and stuff like that. He said, you know, every year you pay your homeowner's insurance, and at the end of the year, you're not pissed off because your house didn't burn down. You know, right. So it's the same sort of thing. If you plan for this and you have it, you're not going to be mad if you don't get to use it. You're not going to be mad if you learn all these things and life goes on and Trump wins and everything turns around. I mean, you're not going to be mad if you don't get to do it. But what if you didn't learn it? That's the position to really think about.
Yes, so, you don't want to sit around the campfire that you finally struggled to get lit with your last match and look around at your kids' faces and realize I've let them down.
Right.
Don't be there. And that's a great analogy you use as well about the insurance. I was like that with AAA for years and years and years. And I was mad at the end of every year that I paid AAA and never used it. And then I canceled it and I needed it.
Yeah, there you go. So that's how to think about it. Well, we're getting short on time. And I do have a couple of announcements I want to make this morning. This coming weekend, I will be speaking at Brian Artis's conference in Dallas, Texas. So we want you to be able to come there, and it's going to be a great, it's Healing for the Ages is the conference. I'll be there. I'll be arriving on Friday morning. I'll be there Friday and Saturday. It's going to be a great conference. I'll be speaking there. And then the following week, on the following Tuesday, we won't be doing morning coffee next week because we will all be traveling. My team will be traveling out there. I have a whole bunch of events that are happening out there. Tuesday night, I'm speaking at a big event. We're going to be talking about this a little bit again, and we're also going to be talking about your health. And we're going to be doing a big event for our ECP clinic in Ventura, so that we can get people to understand and know the importance of prepping for your health. I mean, Matt said, if you can't walk a mile, if you can't walk around your house, if you can't go very far, what good are you? And I know in previous boot camps, we talked about the really hard conversations about what about somebody that's in your house on a home ventilator, or somebody that's in your house on a wheelchair that they cannot walk? Well, you can get yourself in better shape through using ECP therapy. You can go to tenpennyecp.com and learn a whole lot about it. And this coming week, if you're in California, in Southern, anywhere in California or anywhere around that area, we've got people that are already agreeing to come from Sacramento and from all over the place to come to our open house, which is September 19th from 10 to 3 p.m. And it's going to be a great event. You must RSVP in order to get a free session on the bed so that you can feel it. It's not going to change your life to do a 10-minute session on ECP. You need to do at least 10 sessions and preferably the full course of 30 in order to get your maximum benefit. But we offer you an opportunity to get on the bed, what we call a mini, for 10 minutes, just so you can feel it. And honestly, some people have felt a difference after just 10 minutes. They said, wow, I think my circulation is better. I've got ringing in my ears. I don't hear it as much. They get up off the bed. It's like their heart isn't beating as fast. So even from those little minis, sometimes people can feel a little tiny bit of difference. But the whole purpose of it is to introduce you to the clinic, introduce you to our employees that are there, so you can see the staff, see the location, get some experience. And the testimonials we have been amazing. So if you go to tenpennyecp.com, you can learn about it. If you want to attend the event, you need to call, which means the phone number is 805-557-8877. Let me repeat that. This is in Ventura, California, 805-557-8877. Bring your friends, bring your family. I will be there all day. We can have a little conversation. I can tell you a little bit more about what's going on in the clinic and what we're doing nationwide. We've got a whole bunch of events and things. Me and we're going to be out there all week with a whole bunch of things. But the open house is at ECP Studio in Ventura, September 19th from 10 to 3. Please share that with your friends, and I hope to see you there. So with that, I want to thank Matt, who has already dropped off here this morning, but I want to thank him so much for explaining what this is all about. We really, really feel this is incredibly important. Share it with your friends and family members. Get all kinds of people that are there for you, that are with you, so you can do this together. You know, I remember back in the day when we used to do vaccine webinars or vaccine boot camps. We had pictures of people that were sitting around, there were two or three or four people sitting in front of their laptop screen doing this together and taking notes and creating their own binders. And they sent us pictures of their binders and things like, so make it a little bit of fun, but take it seriously. And we hope that you will go to the site and sign up. Cookie, give us the bit.ly link one more time.
The bit.ly link for the bootcamp is bit.ly/prep4. That's the number 4. bit.ly/PREP, the number 4.
Absolutely. So now thank everybody for joining us here for this talk about prepping. And I hope that you found this a great way to start your day. We have 7 broadcasts now in the week, and we hope that you'll join us. Today is Tuesday. Tonight is Happy Hour with Dr. T at 7 o'clock. We've got great pastors and authors of books that are joining us on Happy Hour with Dr. T. And this month on Thursday night, from 6 to 7 p.m., we're doing a 4-part series with Dr. Judd Burton, a PhD in history and biblical theology, on the book of Enoch. And then after that is Critically Thinking with Dr. P and Dr. T. And then starting next Thursday night will be week 1 of the boot camp, and we hope to see you there. So with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, because trouble will come, and be always persistent in prayer. So until the next time, remember to lean into God, trust him for everything, and he will never let you down. We hope that this, so mark your calendar for next Tuesday morning. Oh, I'm sorry, next Tuesday morning, we do not have a morning coffee because we will all be traveling and on the road. We will see you in 2 weeks, but we hope to see you next week in the Prepper Boot Camp. Have a great week, everybody. Goodbye and God bless.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store. Gold and silver always has value. It never goes to zero. And it's a great place to store your wealth. It's a great place to have it for inheritance, for your children, for your grandchildren. And when you can actually get the coins itself, when you can actually do that, you can actually even have a coin collection. I think that some of the older Walking Liberty silver dollars are just amazing that come from the early 1900s. And I think that everybody should have some of those, not only for history, but as a place to protect your wealth, protect your money going forward. It never goes to zero. Like our paper fiat money with hyperinflation and the things that we may be seeing in the future, our dollar could literally go to zero, could be worth nothing. You might even not even be able to barter with it, but you will always have value in gold and silver. You'll always be able to eat with it. You'll be able to trade with it. And it's a great place to store your wealth. Particular company that we work with, because we really, again, trust their product. We believe that this company has a high level of integrity and they are great with customer service. To learn more, go to bit.ly/gold-silver-DRT. That's bit.ly/gold-silver-DRT.